everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously.
But I'm not real waspy like you are.
I am the waspiest I've ever been. It's only going to get worse from here on out.
Did you go see a fucking polo match over the weekend?
Thank you for asking that question, Patrick. Now, I did, but
that's a rhetorical question. I know you went and saw a polo match over the weekend.
Well, and I did, and that's fair. But I do want to add a little detail that I think, I don't know if it helps or hurts your case. You be the judge.
Uh-huh. Were you working the polo match? Is that
No. I did go see a polo match with my wife and children. We went to see a polo match. Now, the polo match was held at a large estate winery.
Mm, okay. Yeah.
More waspy, less waspy. Who can say?
Oh, I'm going to have to go more waspy. Maybe if they had like a dedicated arena for polo that you visited.
Winery?
Yeah. Is that
yes, the way it works? Oh, fuck. That's exactly how it works.
I didn't want it to be that. Okay. Yeah. That's a lot waspier.
I mean, in fact, I challenge you to find one single detail you could add to the actual experience to make it waspier than it was. There is a really incredible winery nearby called King Family Winery. Mm-hmm. And it's unbelievably gorgeous. Like, it's in the middle, it's in this valley and this flat, expansive land, like with these mountains. And it's truly unbelievable. And also, and the wines are very good. They have their winemaker is from France.
Oh,
he's French.
Ooh.
So, you know, he knows. He's got a few tricks up his sleeve. The wines are very good. And yeah, on every Sunday between like March something and Halloween, they have actual polo matches in a polo. I don't even know. It's not a court.
Polo ground.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's polo grounds. Sure.
Yeah, in the polo grounds. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've got stables. They got horses. They got everything. Mm-hmm. They got jockeys and stuff. And apparently they like sometimes so the first time we visited, we were like, can you tell us more about this polo? Because Aaron worked a polo match once when she was in New York. I think doing when she was acting, she was also doing like side, like sample sale things. And sure. And she worked like the American polo match in New York. I don't know what it's called, but she was like
with Ralph Lauren and everything.
Yes. Yes. So she had been to a polo match. She'd been to that one before. I had never been to a polo match, but I have seen Pretty Woman.
Okay.
So I get it.
Yeah. And like 30% of the way there. I think so. Yeah.
That's what they do in Pretty. That's like, I think that's the whole plot of the movie Pretty Woman.
Yeah. I think it's
she becomes a prostitute because she wants to find someone who can take her to a polo match. If I remember correctly,
she's actually a polo mole. I don't know if you knew that. She was trying to seduce Richard Gere to undermine his polo skills. So
yes, that sounds right. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since I've watched it, but it does sound right. So we were explaining this to the woman doing the tasting, and we said, so essentially we know very little about polo. Mm-hmm. And we said, is this just like a thing that you all put on? Like, obviously this thing you put on, but like, is it just like amateur polo? Is it, is there professional polo? And if so, is this that? Like, and she gave an answer that was kind of a little confusing, but basically sometimes they have really apparently incredible polo, like famous, I use that word quite loosely.
Famous in the polo community, players. I'm sure there's some sort of hierarchy.
The polo, if you went to Reddit/r/polo, mm-hmm. you would. I'm sure they would know names of these folks. And sometimes they get some very very famous polo players in. And I, there were so many horses and so many small men. And it was cool. It was, and I just thought, wow, we're sitting there and we're watching and we're at a winery and we're drinking wine and we're watching polo and there's all these white people around. Yeah. And I just thought, I need a whole new wardrobe.
Look down at your shirt with two kitty cats racing cars on it and thought, this might not have been the one.
I don't know. I don't know.
Aaron, get me my Chud shirt.
We'll try that one next time. Okay. Yeah, just to see. Mm-hmm. So yes, I have gone full wasp. Thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. What did you do this weekend?
I didn't do that. I'll tell you that much.
I didn't know such a thing existed. Mm-hmm. But I guess I always wondered, like, I have wondered in my life at some point, where do they play polo?
Sure.
The answer is at big wineries, I guess. So strange. Oh. But also felt so natural. Mm-hmm. I could say I found my home here. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get this set up here. How are you?
Good. I'm really, oh man, I'm so glad that Kamala is in the race, because I don't think I could have, done the fundraising necessary to be in the race myself. I'm glad you took the reins.
So I know you were thinking about it. I know you were thinking like you could be the one to kind of step in and help us clear up this whole issue. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And on behalf of a grateful nation, thank you, Patrick, for considering that sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah. Like at the beginning of his letter, I was considering it. And then in the second paragraph, when he endorsed Kamala, I was like, oh.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. On behalf of that same grateful nation, I'd also like to say thank you, Patrick, for not throwing your hat in the ring. Because I think Kamala's going to be the one for this. Yeah. Boy, I feel like we've said this every week for the last several weeks. So what a time to be alive. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what I said after Donnie got shot in the ear? How, like,
you said, what a pussy.
I said, Donald Trump's life is like a Simpsons episode, because after a week, everyone's forgotten everything and we've moved on to the next thing. And he was shot in the head a week ago.
Now, I will say, is the ear the head?
What else would you call it? Is it a part of the shoulder?
From the head? No, I mean, it comes off the head, but it's like, if you shoot a mushroom growing off a tree, would you be like, I shot the tree? I don't know. But you'd be like, I shot the fungus.
So you're claiming that Donald Trump's ear is a fungus that erupts from his head.
Now, to be fair, I would say that most of Donald Trump's body is a fungus. Yeah. So it's not unique in that situation.
Donald Trump is like the final boss of Last of Us or something like that.
Oh, that's okay. So I've been sitting here thinking. So I finished The Boys, the new season of The Boys.
Oh, good for you.
Aaron and I finished the new season of The Bear. Okay. And I was just sitting here today thinking, like, God, there is some other show that I started before we moved that I did not pick up against in the weeks we've been here. And what is it? I couldn't think of it. Mm. It's Last of Us. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you. And thank you, Donald Trump, for reminding me of that. Anyway, yes, correct. He was shot near or in the head, however you want to say it. And that's nowhere in the news anymore. It's amazing. I texted my mom earlier today and I said, I think it's safe to say we finally can agree on something political, which is what is happening? and we found common ground in being confused about the fact that there was, you know, an assassination attempt and then an assassination attempt that was forgotten because the presumptive nominee dropped out. And, you know, really bringing families together.
Mm-hmm. It would be like, you know, if we landed on the moon. And then they assassinated Kennedy, and the next week they just like canceled NASA because they're like, I don't know, there's a lot going on. We can only focus on one thing at once.
And then the moon got sucked into a black hole that we didn't know was there. And you're like, oh wow, that is newsworthy.
Yeah.
Boy. So, any predictions for the election, Pat?
I would say the Pat from 8 days ago would have made a pretty poor prediction of how the next 8 days would have gone. So I'm not going to bet on the next 100-ish. Wouldn't bet one red cent.
Oh, man. Any other questions about polo or being?
I mean, I don't think I'm not going to get a lot of answers about the polo, it doesn't sound like, but
I can give you some. Are you going to verify them on Google? Because if not, I have lots of answers.
Probably not.
Great. Then ask me anything. AMA.
Okay. How does the scoring work in polo?
Oh, fuck. I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea about any of the rules. I don't even know how long are they periods? And at one point, so Aaron and I were kind of like, you know, and it's very difficult when you've got two small children too. Job number one is don't let them get run over by a horse.
Obviously. Yeah. Or hit with the big croquet ball. Obviously.
Yes. That's job number two. Job number three is don't let them drink the wine. Ivy tried real hard. She got pretty close once. So you've got all that going on. Mm-hmm. And then there's also polo. And so we are trying to figure out how polo is played because it's happening right there.
Right.
And Aaron's like, do you know how many, like, what is the timing of this? And I said, I have no idea. And we were trying to like guess, and she's like, maybe it's 30. And we looked at the watch when they called like some timeout or halftime or something. We're like, maybe it's 45 minutes. And she said, maybe it's maybe it's like three quarters.
Sure.
And I said, I don't think that's it, because that's.
And I would assume none of this information is up on the Jumbotron at this point. Is it's just wine advertisements the whole time, just cycling through them? Like,
should we pitch them on a Jumbotron?
Anything more pastoral than a 60 by 120 Jumbotron.
Bring in the one from Texas. Breaking it over the field.
Breaking apart the troubling countryside. Full of ads for Northrop Grumman and reinforced wine.
But you know what's really cool is you. So, I mean, the polo field, and of course it is, because of course it makes sense. But, until you're there, you don't, you know, it's hard, hard to get the scope. But it's huge. Sure. I mean, you've got lots of horses running around. It has to be. Makes sense.
Yeah. You can put like 75 horses or anything like that in a hockey rink. It doesn't, it's not as exciting.
First of all, they will slip.
Yeah.
They are so bad at that. It's just massive. And like to the point where it's like, I didn't realize they had started until about 10 minutes after they'd started, because then they came to our end of it. And I was like, oh, this has been going on for a while. But all ringing around it are all people watching, of course, but they encourage tailgating. And so you have people tailgating. So it's like you're watching an NFL. It's like fancy WASP NFL.
Okay.
And people just like back their trucks or their SUVs up to the field, and they just, you know, open the hatch, put down the bed, and they're just sitting in there. And they got their snacks and stuff, and they're just hanging out. And then these golf carts with these trailers going around the whole time, selling wine, selling bottles of wine,
sure,
and hats, and because no shade.
Yeah, okay, so they're shade hats. They're not like ball caps with the name of like famous polo squads.
In fact, Patrick, thank you for asking that question. I expected them to be like cool, like straw hats, and I thought maybe I'll get one because it's been a while since I've had one. No, they are cheap ball caps.
Oh, okay.
Let's say something about polo on them. And I thought, not interested. Not interested. I want a Panama Jack hat or nothing.
I will take 1.5 liters of wine and the rules of polo, please. And make it snappy.
Yeah, it is confusing. And some people were really into it. I mean, they seemed like they knew the rules a lot.
They seemed like they could see the ball like the whole time.
Which is insane to me, because it's very small. And again, the field is quite large. Yeah. So I don't know how they did it. At one point, Maple kept asking, like, where's the ball? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And at one point I said, oh, there's the ball.
Yeah.
And she said, I think that's a rock. And she was correct. And I said, look, I have old eyes. I don't know. Well, do you want to hear a ghost story?
Love to.
Too bad, because first I have to tell you that we this week are sponsored by Lady Swan Travel.
Okay.
Patrick,
yeah.
You love vacation.
It is something that I do
constantly.
I love to go really far away from the house.
You sure do.
I do.
Sometimes to islands and stuff. So it's hard. The more kids you have, the harder it is to travel in a good way, because you're like, I don't know. Before I had children, I was like, I love planning travel. And now it's like, I don't know what to do, because we have to like find a hotel that has a separate room with beds for children. And we have to find like places with fun kids activities and stuff. I no longer like planning travel.
I plan that's it, where yeah, I plan to survive travel. That's my plan.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not how we should live. We should enjoy travel. We shouldn't just survive. We should thrive. Right. And Lady Swan Travel can help you with that. Now, you may know the Lady Swan Travel owner, Patrick. I think her name is Jennifer Swanson.
Oh, this Lady Swan.
Yes, indeed. Jen Swanson, are one of our top three best unpaid interns for sure.
Oh.
One of the top three of the five employees.
Yeah, she totally. Is absolutely. Sure. Yeah, she's on the pedestal somewhere.
Yes, absolutely. Jen also has a travel agency that she runs called Lady Swan Travel. And I no longer like planning travel, but you know who does? Jen. She likes planning it for me and for you.
Man.
And so.
What a miserable thing to do.
I know, but she likes it. It's weird. But next time you are going on a trip and you're thinking, gosh, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle these kids. Jen can help you and Lady Swan Travel can help you. And one of the things that Jen and I talked about not too long ago was like, hey, Jen, you should put together some sort of like cool ghost hunting trip. And I was joking and she thought, actually, that's a good idea. And so looking at the calendar, we're not too far from spooky season as the crow flies.
Oh, absolutely.
And so if you are interested in, I mean, really any travel at all, obviously, but I mean, specifically, like if you want to get your friends, your family together to go on like a spooky weekend trip, go check out some haunted places somewhere, go on a ghost tour or two.
Even if your friends and family don't realize that's what's going on.
Yeah. That's, in fact, I mean, that's way better.
That's so much scarier. If so you show up, and they're expecting to be at like, you know, the Holiday Inn, Austin or whatever, but you show up at a haunted fucking mansion. Can you imagine?
Which is the Holiday Inn Austin, actually. It's okay, weird. Yeah, I guess you've never been there, but that's crazy to even say that.
But you guys all show up at a haunted cave together.
Oh my God. And there are consumption cabins and you're like, wait a minute, what's happening? And then also, Jen closes the door. And Jen can help you with that. So she is into the idea of this, of the haunted trips, which I think is so, so freaking cool. And I will tell you, as I think the attentive listener will remember, Ryan and I pretty recently went to New Orleans. Not for a haunted trip specifically, but while I was there, Jen was texting me like suggestions of where to go. They were amazing because she just knows New Orleans, because she just knows everywhere, because she's so good at what she does. We saw Nicolas Cage's tomb because Jen was like, you should go check out Nicolas Cage's tomb. And I said, he's not dead.
Right.
Nice try, Jen. Turns out she's right. He is dead and he has a tomb. Or he's alive, but he still has a tomb. And she gives some great restaurant and bar recommendations. Like, she's so good. She keeps this show running, humming like clockwork. And she will keep your trip running like clockwork. So there's a lot happening outside my door right now. It's very distracting.
Speaking of excitement with children, right on cue. Yeah.
Jen, can you put up a trip where like Aaron and I just go away for a while?
Like right now?
Right now, and the kids just kind of go somewhere else. Let's talk about that. Jen is so wonderful, as you all know. Already, she does all our video editing. She does sometimes the notes. She does my job almost as much as I do for this show. She's really wonderful. She can keep this going. She can keep your vacation going. So go to ladyswantravel.com and let Jen just, I mean, take all the stress out of your next vacation. And if you do go on a spooky trip for the spooky season, I want all the pictures. Send us everything. I want to see it because that's amazing. Was that not a good ad?
That was
but
great.
There were a lot of noises behind me. Is that okay?
I heard two things. I heard two things.
Oh boy,
not a big deal. So one of them was Maple saying fuck, but it was fine. It wasn't a big deal.
Well, her vocabulary is expanding and we celebrate that. It's fine.
Absolutely. She learned some of the Blue Crew language there at the polo match. And
yeah, famously at the polo match. It was funny. So one last story about the polo match. Speaking of things people said there. Oh, and now someone else has plumbing going on at their house.
Oh, somebody is.
Now the tables have turned.
Somebody has turned on some sort of a fire hose upstairs. I hope.
Gosh, I hope Jeremy's back.
There has to be a filter for whatever this is, right?
Yeah, we were actually at the polo match when the news broke that Biden was stepping down. And it was then I kind of like Aaron had taken the girls elsewhere. And I thought, well, Aaron should know this. So I kind of wound my way through folks to go very calmly, go tell Aaron that Biden has dropped out of the race. And I overheard snippets of people saying things like, well, you know, this means Kamala could be can run as the incumbent. And that has some really real leverage possibilities. Things like that. And I thought, gosh, this is great. These people are, these are donors.
This is so much better than what I was just going to run up to Aaron and be like, hey, Aaron, guess what? Biden done dropped out of the goddamn race.
Monkey Joe ain't no running no more. Now I've lost my note. Okay. Are you ready? Oh no. One last announcement. So sorry. Hey everyone, before we get started, I will just tell you, if you've not yet joined Ghost Plus, now's the time, because not only do we have a ton of ghosties and other episodes of the Smith Show that Ryan and I are doing, after this episode tonight, Patrick and I are going to record one more ghosty. Mm. Right? You said that was okay, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah. As long as the plumbing shuts off, they should be fine.
Yeah, seems fine. We're going to record a story tonight that by the time you're hearing this episode, that ghosty, I think, will have come out. And listen, I can't talk about it because Patrick doesn't know the story yet, but it's you don't want to miss the ghosty that's coming very soon. So it is, I feel very comfortable saying it is going to be a top three episode of Is This a Ghost?
Okay.
Based on the subject matter alone. Very excited, and you don't want to miss it. So if you are not yet a Ghost Plus member, think about joining. It's $5.99 a month, which I don't think is too much money.
Find that in the couch cushions today, right now. I bet you could.
Can you?
I think can so. You? Might couch. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Will you?
In pennies.
You haven't paid for your subscription yet, so.
My credit card got repossessed.
It was eaten by my dog. It's so weird.
Oh.
But your credit card is probably fine, dear listener. So $5.99 a month. It's really great. We have a ton of content. And again, we're going to keep making that content. And gosh, the episode we are going to record after this truly is it's a humdinger. So you won't want to miss it. And if you subscribe right now as you're listening, you will get to hear that episode because I think it's already out. So it's that episode alone is worth it. $6 for that episode. Oh, steal. It's a steal. Plus you get a ton of other things. So I don't know. IsThisAGhost.com. Go check it out. You'll see the Ghost Plus button. Mm-hmm. Click that. Set it up. Pat, you want to do a really good cool selling point for Ghost Plus?
We haven't done a new shirt in a while. A new Ghost Plus exclusive shirt. You
know,
recently.
We're getting down to the end of the month. I don't know what the next shirt's going to be. So I mean, we have one for July. Obviously, it's been up. But
right, yeah.
What will August be? Any thoughts?
Don't know. I don't know if it could top the Smushery. The Smushery was pretty good. The
fucking Smushery is so good. That one was too good to be locked behind the paywall. That one's too good. But I got a week to come up with something. It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine.
Mm-hmm. No pressure.
Probably. Thanks. Are you ready for a ghost story?
Been ready.
This is the worst intro we've done, I think, ever. All right. Let's see. Well, here. Oh, wait.
Ding. Ding.
Ding.
Dong.
So stupid. In the early 1790s, a man named Adam Livingston left his rather substantial piece of property in Pennsylvania and moved to the Northern Virginia Territory.
Hmm. Was he driven out?
In a sense.
Okay.
So, Livingston was a devout Lutheran. He was very pious, very holy man, but very Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
Now that will come into play. So I just want to drive that home. So Lutheran. He left Pennsylvania because his property there had begun experiencing, quote, a host of calamities.
Hmm.
His cattle started dying off.
Okay.
His barn burned to the ground.
Hmm.
And his fields began to fail. Which he seemed to think it was a curse. He might be bad at farming.
I was going
to
say, this really sounds like somebody who's just not very good at farming.
It could be that. It could be that 100%. So he tells his family, pack your things, folks. We're moving to Virginia.
I have given the fuck up. We are moving south.
This sucks.
We'll be eating nothing but tobacco for the next 10 years.
Strengthen your jaws, lads. We are chewing tobacco.
Hope you're ready to get Popeye arms because that's next on our list. I think. I'm not sure.
I never saw that cartoon. I never watched it to the very end.
But you can see big fucking arms.
He definitely looks like a smoker, though, right?
Yeah.
I think so. He says, we're going to Virginia where nothing bad will ever happen to us again. And here I have, just for you and for our YouTube listeners, I guess, I have a statue
immediate
of Livingston
visual aid.
See a little visual aid.
Prominent enough to have a statue. That's pretty good.
Look at that.
Oh, well, okay. It's not a great statue.
That's not very nice.
I mean, it's fine.
It's like a bas relief, really. Yeah.
It looks a lot like a marionette in front of a church door. I mean, it's not... I don't know. If this is my statue, I'd regret it. This is kind of like the Stan Musial statue in St. Louis, where it looks so awful, but he felt bad that it looked so bad that he never told anybody how bad it looked. And everybody's like, oh, Stan, don't you like the statue we got you?
And he said, it's
very nice.
It's fine. It's nice to have a statue, isn't it?
That's they're like, do you want to visit it? He's like, no, I don't really want to visit it either.
So you don't like the Musial statue?
I don't care for the Musial statue, no.
Well, anyway, so that's Livingston. Mm-hmm. Who probably didn't get to see a statue, I assume. So he doesn't
we'll
get count.
There. We'll see.
Who cares? We'll see. All right. Where are we? So Livingston, they're leaving Pennsylvania. He says, fuck this place. Bad luck here. He buys 350 acres near what is now Middleway, West Virginia.
Okay.
Now, just to remind everyone, we did talk a few episodes back about how West Virginia used to be Virginia. Mm-hmm. And during the Civil War, government was like, fuck you, Virginia. You're going to the South. We'll split you in another state that will definitely be for the North. And they made West Virginia because they don't know what they're doing.
I do. Although I do appreciate Virginia sticking to their guns and be like, no. We're not going to call ourselves East Virginia. That's stupid. We're not going to do that.
No. Yeah. We are Virginia. Yeah. We are Virginia. Yes.
I would really appreciate if they'd called West Virginia the Virginia. That would have been really fantastic.
That's the only way that you could have topped it, for sure. A Virginia classic. Now it's Middleway, West Virginia. Back then it was Virginia Territory. So anyway, so he moves in with his family. It's 350 acres. Immediately his cattle start to die.
Interesting.
So he's having some pretty bad luck.
The curse follow him, or is he just feeding them sugar cubes all day? Who will know? I have no idea.
Hard to say. Yeah. No one took it's records are hard to come by.
Cows seem to love molasses. Why do they keep dying?
I keep giving them everything they want, which is barrels of molasses.
their milk is intoxicating, but they die in 3 days. I don't really know what to do.
Their milk does ferment inside of them for reasons I have not yet known, but I do get drunk off it and I like it, and they keep dying. It's bad all around.
They swell up like a weather balloon and smell like death.
And I don't know why they can't keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, what's the next state down from here?
So the cattle starts dying again, which Livingston hates. The curse is not relegated now to just animals. Mm-hmm. Not long after the family moves in, a random traveler arrives at the door, just like a guy who's asking for food and shelter, which was it sounds certainly strange now, not uncommon back then. Mm-hmm. There's no gas stations. There's no rest stops. There are no pilots. Mm-hmm. There are also no airplane pilots, but there's no pilot casting.
Sure.
Yeah. Pilots probably, is that regional or national?
I'm going to say Quick Trip. Quick Trip's probably pretty well known. What do you think is the best, the most widely known?
Bucky's. I mean, Bucky's has gone viral for their excellent billboards. Yeah. All right. So he goes to Bucky's. So this traveler stops at the Livingston house, asks for food and shelter, and they're happy to help. They feed him, they put him up. But the stranger suddenly falls incredibly sick.
Oh, no. Did he get into the molasses?
Molasses. He's like, oh, these cows are so voluptuous and gas-filled. I don't know. So,
do you have any water or vegetables meat eat? Oh, heavens no. We live off of the dark stuff here. Crack open another barrel, mother.
Okay, so they feed him molasses, and he gets very sick. So he asks Livingston, because he's like, I'm not doing great. Mm-hmm. Will you please go find a Catholic priest to come here and console me? It's okay. Very bad.
Yeah. Well, at least one that knows about bloodletting, because I really don't.
Is George Washington around still? Can you please call him or his doctor?
I can't let it myself. I'm very squeamish.
I need someone who will take 17 pints of my blood. Do you know anyone like that?
Plus the 4 pints of molasses. I'm begging you.
So he asked for a Catholic priest, but Livingston, as we noted, is Lutheran, quite Lutheran. And he has, so he's like, I do not really know any Catholic priests. And he was, and this is a quote, not enthusiastic about finding one.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's kind of their shtick. They're pretty done with that.
Grown up around Catholics my whole life. And, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. It's okay. So the stranger's illness gets worse very quickly, and pretty soon he dies. So he dies at Livingston's house. And Livingston's like, come on, man. I don't even know you. Like, this sucks. Like, what do you do in a situation?
Oh, a traveler comes to your house.
Uh-huh.
You let him in.
Says, hello.
Hello. I'm very hungry.
Yeah.
And then he dies in the house. Not by your hand. Well, because we've had ghosts in the past that have died. Correct. Traveler ghosts that have died at the hand of the homeowner,
and then you bury your hand in the basement. Yeah. I think sure how that one worked. Not this one though.
I think of this one, you just kind of, you know, chalk up to half a day lost and start digging a hole in the backyard.
Livingston decides to do something similar. He buries a stranger just outside of his property line.
Okay.
Which is way smarter than your plan. You idiot. So he takes him out in the field. He steps a few steps over his property line, and there he buries this stranger. And I just, you know, this guy is, I assume he has family somewhere, and just will never... they don't know what happened ever. And that's just how life was in the 1700s, I guess. Just fucking crazy. So anyway, he buries a stranger, without, I should say, the benefit of a Catholic service.
Pretty much. I mean, by design,
obviously. Right. Yes. So he buries this body in a way that is not sanctioned by God.
Right. But is sanctioned by the Lutherans.
And the Lutheran God, which is very different than the Catholic God. These are two very different and warring deities.
Right. Yeah. I believe the Lutheran funeral ceremony consists of looking at the body and going, well,
and then just walking away,
slapping your thighs and walking back to the house.
Yep, that's that sounds right.
Yeah. We don't need to make a big deal out of this, right?
Nah, we all die, right? This one did.
Some of us die in the field.
Well, who's ready for dinner? So he buries him without a Catholic ceremony, which is against the rules for the Catholics. And then things get really weird at the house. The Livingstons start hearing loud banging, and they also hear the thunderous galloping of horses, just like out of nowhere.
Oof. Okay.
Just hanging out, enjoying their house, as you do. And horses, sound of horses everywhere, shaking the house. But no actual horses, just the sound of horses. Okay. In the room where the stranger had died, candles will not stay lit. Now, I will break in here to say, I think it may be possible they gave him pneumonia by putting him in a drafty place.
It's such a weird room. It's so very cold. Also, it's 17 feet below ground and candles won't stay lit because there's no oxygen down here.
It's so weird. And this guy died so fast. Why is he so blue? I don't know. Science will never tell us.
Anyway, bring all the cattle down here again. It's time for a little bit.
So let's see, stones and pieces of firewood start flying through the air all on their own. I guess it's worth stating. Dishes come off the shelves and smash to the floor. Embers start leaping out of the hearth and catching fire on the rug. And the heads of ducks and geese would just fall off.
Okay. That's okay. That one's That one's more difficult to chalk up to the...
They would just fall off. Yeah.
These poorly constructed geese. Who did it? The last time I buy a goose from that guy.
From that fucking Catholic. The Catholic God does not know how to make geese. These aren't good, hearty Lutheran geese. Their heads would just fall off. Here's a quote. As though cut by some invisible force. So that one is concerning.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you eat the first one, but then as soon
as you're like, what luck? Yeah. This is great.
I was going to do this and now it's done for me. This is fantastic. Oh, I hope God doesn't take all the feathers off the duck too.
How many ducks or geese would have to just have their heads fall off before you start thinking, oh, this isn't good. Actually, this is worrisome.
I would say more than one per day, because I could eat one per day. But if two happen per day, then it's like, this is too much duck.
So if it's one per day, it's like the elves and the shoemaker. Yeah. You're like, oh, something is helping me and I love this.
This is saving me so much time. But anytime that it's like a duck head falls off in the morning and then it falls off again at night, I'm like, look, this is, I'm getting my cholesterol through the fucking roof. I cannot do this anymore.
I am up to my knees in headless ducks, please. This has to be devil's design.
I have put so much molasses on these ducks and I still can't stomach another one. This is just disgusting.
I have been feeding them to the cows and they seem fine with it. They do die the next day, but they've always done that. So I don't know. So the heads of ducks and geese keep falling off. Yep. And then one particularly common thing that would happen again and again and again is that the family can hear the sound of heavy shears cutting through various materials all over the house.
Like duck? Cutting through duck?
I think duck.
Because this sounds like it
makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
this is, you know, no pun intended. This is kind of killing two birds with one stone right here. This is...
What do you think it sounds like when a pair of giant shears cuts through a duck's neck? Can you do that for us, please?
There's like a squish snip, like a squish and a snip at the same time.
I would say sploosh, maybe. I don't know.
Not mine.
Sploosh snip.
No. That's not what I'm hearing.
Every time I do it, it's a little different. Yeah. So, all right. So like, for example, they'll be in the living room or whatever, watching Modern Family. And whatever they do, and they'll hear like a snip coming from somewhere in the house.
Right. And then it's a game of find the headless duck, which is a hard game to play. Yeah.
In a matter of speaking, yeah. So they run to the room where they hear the sound, and whatever the thing that has been snipped, which is, it changes. Sometimes it's sheets, sometimes it's clothes, sometimes boots, sometimes curtains. It's been saddles.
Mm.
It can be anything. Mm-hmm. Like material, doesn't matter. This thing will have a half moon shape clipped out of it.
Oh, interesting. Artistic. I like it.
It's nice, right?
Mm-hmm. It's
a signature
in the kids' room. Sure.
Oh, I love that.
Wouldn't that be nice? Oh,
then you can drape that thing over a lamp.
Oh yeah. They make little
moons on the ceiling.
Yeah. Oh, this. I don't mind this.
Very nice.
I don't mind this.
Back in. Yeah.
I don't got to fuck with the ducks anymore. My kids love all the extra decorations that I can't afford.
We've never eaten so much meat. This is great. So sometimes their clothes were clipped while people were wearing them.
Okay.
They would hear the clip on their own clothes. And they would look down and suddenly there's a half moon there. And this crescent moon cut would even appear on some of the animals.
Oh, okay.
It was cutting into their hides.
Right. Sure.
This goes on for years.
Mm-hmm.
I think 3 or 4 years. Now, one guest of the Livingston house said that when she visited, she had a new silk hat and she wanted to keep it safe. So she wrapped it in a handkerchief. When she left the house, she found the handkerchief untouched, but she unwraps it. The hat inside had been cut to ribbons.
Ooh, that's some Penn and Teller shit there. I don't know how they do that.
Indeed.
Yeah.
The crescent moon was assumed to be an occult symbol.
Yeah, the Catholic occult, of course. Yeah, makes sense.
I think so. So the townspeople and the Livingstons as well start referring to these crescent-shaped cuts as the wizard clip.
Hmm. Interesting.
Uh-huh. Everyone is talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot else Everyone. Going on.
No. Oh, I mean, yeah. No. In the 17, fucking 17, whatever.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. So everyone is just losing their minds over the wizard clip.
Your son should get the wizard clip. Oh, I've been thinking about it.
That foreskin is getting in the way, so we've been thinking about it.
It is tedious to clean beneath it every single moment of the day.
I spent my entire day just pulling back foreskin and scrubbing it out. Could be helpful to have a wizard clip. We're doing another episode after this one, right?
I guess so.
Let's see. So everyone's talking about it. Before long, people are actually calling the whole area Clip Town.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's a real deal.
It's
gone
viral. It's a total. It's like it's been memed at this point.
It absolutely has been. After a few years of this, Livingston has finally had enough. Which I'm pretty sure is code for his wife finally gave him an ultimatum.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. So he's like, okay, I will go. I will find some help to get rid of this ghost that is throwing stones and firewood and smashing our plates, but most importantly, cutting moons into everything. So he calls in a Lutheran minister. But that guy's like, I don't even know what you're asking me to do here. Yeah. Like and he tells me, he's like, I can't help you. I think you need a Catholic priest.
They're the ones that believe in this shit. So
I refuse to even acknowledge this is happening around me right now because I don't believe in it. You need a Catholic priest. And Livingston says, absolutely not. Mm. No Catholics will not. So then he speaks to an Episcopal minister and then a Methodist preacher. Now, both of those folks try to get the spirit to leave, but they just get hit with stones. And they don't like that, and they leave. Then Livingston brings in conjurers and witches.
Before the Catholics, really?
So this man's hatred for the Catholic Church is so fucking strong. It's really kind of impressive. But no one can get rid of this evil spirit. And everyone who visits keeps telling him, this is really kind of a Catholic sort of thing. You just got to, like, I don't want to tell you, you need a Catholic.
Have you read their book? It's like all about this shit.
They love demons.
Oh, my God. And that
feels like what you've got.
It really, really does.
But he just refuses until one night he has a dream where he's approached by a man in Catholic vestments. And according to Livingston, this man is just radiating peace. So he wakes up and he finally says, fuck it, call a priest. But as we have discussed, he doesn't know where to find a priest. So it does take him a while. He eventually finds a Catholic priest named Reverend Dennis Cahill.
Okay.
An Irish immigrant. And Livingston, and it was noted here, reluctantly invites him to his home. So Cahill does come over. He comes in, he sprinkles some holy water. He says some prayers around the house. On his way out the door, Cahill steps onto something that's surprising. It looks down. It's a bag of coins that the Livingston family thought they had lost.
Oh, interesting.
And I was just sitting out on the floor. So this priest, he's paying for himself already.
Yeah.
This is great.
This priest, the Catholic priest, like, you know, you don't have to do this, right? Like, I was going to come over anyway.
I mean, yeah. I do accept, but just so you know.
And this is going to shave precious months off of your time in purgatory, but even so.
So he finds the money for them. Then he leaves and the haunting stops for a few days.
Cool.
Now, Livingston is kind of mad about this because he fucking hates Catholics and he is very unhappy that a Catholic is the one that is helping him here.
This is like me with chiropractors. Like, you know,
all kinds of neck pain. I know this is pseudoscience, but I do feel better.
I know. Like, why am I so limber now? I know in a week it's going to feel a trillion times worse for some reason, but God, it feels so good right now.
I love chiropractors. I've been going for a long time because I have some back problems. Because when you're really tall,
right,
your back is like, we can't support this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You only get so many vertebrae. Like, you don't get extra ones. You get
the same number. Yeah. And mine have to support way more than yours do. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of problems. So I found a local chiropractor because I needed one. Went last week and I walked in and he was like, so what's going on with you? And I was like, well, you know, I've got this like low back pain. Mm-hmm. I have this. And he goes, huh? Wow. And that was it. And I said, yep.
You gonna touch me or what? How are we gonna do this? Yeah. Here?
And he said, "Like, does it hurt?" And I said, "Well, you know, it's like a stiff,
right?
You know, stiffness thing, but like it's uncomfortable and stuff." He goes, "Huh?" And you say it's over here on your back, and I said, "No, I said it's actually on the other side." He goes, "Huh? What about your neck?" And I said, "You know, it's a little stiff. It's okay." He goes, "Huh? How's your lower back?" And I said, "We've been through this." So I don't know. So it was weird, but they had like the massage tables and stuff. So that felt really good. So I left feeling, I guess, a little bit better. Mm. And then when I was checking out, they ran our insurance and they were like, "Well, we ran your insurance. And if we go through the insurance, it'll be, you know, like a $40 copay." Mm. And that's more than we charge here.
Like, what kind of strip mall chiropractor do I end up at?
I know. And it's what? And said, yeah, so if you can just like, you know, pay out of pocket, it's only $25.
Right.
And I said, okay, we'll do that.
And by out of pocket, I mean cash. I do not mean check.
Right. And or flesh. We'll take $25 worth of flesh. But I was just like, okay, what is this place?
No. Actually, if you just want to work it off and handle the next appointment, I'll just call the whole thing a wash. It's totally fine.
I wouldn't have been surprised. Anyway, I'm going back on Wednesday, and I hope it's great. Aaron is like, why are you going back? I said,
you know, the stories pay for themselves, really.
That's true. And like the hassle of finding another chiropractor, it's too much. So I'll give him a few good weeks. See what happens. Anyway, so Livingston hates that the Catholic priest had helped, but he does help for a little while. But after a few days, the haunting starts up again. And so Livingston calls Cahill back. And Cahill says, "All right, boyo, have you got an idea? I think your house needs an exorcism."
Ooh.
And I would like to note here, I think Cahill is a pretty old priest.
Oh, please, 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 please.
So he calls a man named Reverend Dmitri Galitzin.
That sounds like a pretty contemporary young priest name.
Now, I don't actually know Galitzin's age, but I will say that he died in 1839. Mm-hmm. Which is 45 years after this haunting, which means he probably is a pretty young priest.
Yeah.
We've got an old priest and a young priest.
Oh.
Now, Glitzen is excited because he'd actually heard the story of the wizard clip. Mm-hmm. So he's ready to go on this project. This is absolutely. So the two priests go to the house, but you can't just walk into a possessed house and exorcise it.
Right, yeah.
If you recall, that's what Ed and Lorraine Warren tried to do in episode, I looked this up, 102, The Conjuring House. I think that's the one where they did that. That went badly. Do you remember what happened in that episode when they tried to exorcise the spirit, Patrick?
Sure don't.
Don't even give me a time to take a drink. Okay. That spirit went into the mom and the whole family got mad and said, "Get out of here." Yeah. This isn't cool. So you can't rush this stuff. And so Cahill and Gallitzin, they start spending time with the Livingstons at their house to try to understand the spirit. Mm-hmm. Later on, Gallitzin would write a letter about this whole thing, wherein he states that after 3 months of witnessing the haunting of the Livingstons, quote, I was soon converted to a full belief of them.
After 3 square meals a day for 90 days, I was beginning to believe these people.
The idea of being soon converted to an idea after 3 months. Amazing.
In the 18th century, 3 months is a not insignificant chunk of your life.
It is almost all of your life, in fact. So once everyone's all good and convinced, Cahill and Gallitzin hold an exorcism at the house. Now, the evil spirit does not like this. Mm-hmm. It freaks out. And here's a quote. It, quote, caused the house to shake with the rattling and tumbling as of innumerable wagons.
Uh-huh. The horses are back.
So the horses just love this place. Horses go gaga. They're like, got molasses for us. So they finish the exorcism with a mass in the home, which I don't think, this is my editorial here. I don't think you're actually allowed to do.
Correct. Yeah.
One time growing up, we went to, there's a very small river in rural Missouri called the Burbis River. And there's little cabins along it. We had family friends who had cabins there, and we would go spend weekends there sometimes with folks and camp and stuff. Anyway, there was one point where our priest came down and he did a mass there on Sunday, like at the riverfront. And the entire time he was like, you know, I'm not supposed to be doing this, right? Yeah. It's like, man, you decided to, your call, dude.
This one doesn't count. Just so you know.
No. He's like, this is not sanctioned. You have to do this like in a holy place. But they do that anyway, and it worked. The evil spirit flees. The haunting stops.
Cool.
Sort of. After the exorcism, the Livingstons, they stop getting hit with stones and like firewood and shit. Mm-hmm. No more clips appear in their various fabrics.
Sure.
This is all good. Mm-hmm. Love this. But soon after, they start hearing something that they will come to call the voice.
Hmm.
And it's Blake Shelton. So confused. The voice is, as the name suggests, a voice that will just shout out from time to time.
Hmm.
It'll say things like, I want prayers.
That's not the sort of thing it's late at night. You're trying to get to sleep. You know, been a long day. And all of a sudden a ghost starts screaming about wanting prayers. 10, 11 o'clock at night. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. That would shout.
That would keep me up for a little
prayers.
Bit.
Yeah. And it would, quote, shame members of the family who were not pure in their confessions.
Okay.
So I don't know if this means like, hey, Mabel.
Ivy's being a pout pout fish right now.
She's being a pout pout fish. Okay, how are you doing? Ivy's being a pout pout fish.
I can hear some screaming going on that didn't come from anybody that I saw in frame.
Classic pout pout fish. Screams. Anyway, where were we? Shame. He would shame members of the family who were not pure in their confessions. I don't know if you're confessing to this voice.
I mean, again, this is clearly like an angry dead Catholic priest. Like this is
seems like it.
Yeah,
seems like it.
I don't think the Lutherans do like the confessional and all that sort of stuff.
I don't think so. I think that's uniquely Catholic.
Yeah. So this is very much like an angry old Catholic priest. Ghost.
Yeah, or, that sounds right.
I can't think of a more annoying ghost to have in the house.
That's fucking really worst. Can't. Fucking worst. The voice first manifested as a bright light that woke Livingston up. And it told him to rise to call his family together and to pray.
Oh, so annoying.
It is the worst. Now, he did this, and the voice prayed with them, guiding them in prayer. Mm-hmm. And I was like, just fucking give me the demon back. God damn.
It is 1 o'clock in the morning. Time to have a 2-hour mass. That's right. Get the incense.
Time for a novena. So the Livingston family decides this is the voice of a soul in purgatory. Now, here's a quote. It was under these unusual circumstances that Adam Livingston and a number of his children became devout Catholic converts.
Okay.
So it did work.
Yeah.
The ghost did just fucking beat them into submission. And this is, of course, a huge deal because Livingston fucking hates Catholics.
Yeah. But he also likes sleeping. So, I mean... Eventually, one of those is going to win out.
If you had to choose between sleep and Catholicism, which one did you choose?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I need my beauty sleep. Absolutely need it.
It's easy, right? You don't have to go. You can just be like, "Oh, I'll be at church all the time," and you can like wink.
Yeah,
and then just sleep instead.
It's actually how Catholics work. I don't know if you knew that.
I know.
Yeah. I'll be there on Easter.
Oh, Christmas is an important one, you say? Okay. Oh,
see you it's then. A shame I'm so hungover on Christmas then.
If you wanted me to come to church on Christmas, you shouldn't have put it after Christmas Eve, the most drunken of nights of the holiday season.
Dear God, if you make me not hungover, I will go to church. But if you let me continue to be hungover, I'm afraid I'm going to have to sleep in the bathtub.
And I will know that you don't exist. Good luck. So Adam and several of his folks become Catholic. Mm-hmm. In 1802, which is several years later, Livingston deeds 35 of his acres to the Catholic Church as a field to sustain a priest.
Interesting. And his and his polo buddies, I guess.
And his polo friends. So then Livingston moves back to Pennsylvania, where he lives until his death in 1820. Don't blame him one bit.
Mm-mm.
So he had donated the land, but he was wise to the Catholic Church's tricks. He did stipulate that they can only keep the land if there is always a clergyman on the property, like living on the property, and any profits made off the land should go toward building or repairing a church on the property.
Hmm. Okay.
Sorry, Vatican. This money's staying here. The diocese still owns the land to this day, along with a building they constructed on it, which is called the Priestfield Pastoral Center.
Hmm.
The ghost has not returned since the exorcism, and the other ghost, that is a voice, has not spoken since Livingston's converted, is the right word there, to Catholicism. But worth noting, at Priest Field, even today, they still honor the ghost with these signs that I will show you.
Oh, that's like one of those weird hobo signs.
Correct. Yeah. Except it's very formal on a triangular plaque on a wall of a house.
Yeah, this is clearly something that somebody had made at a sign, some sort of sign company. Is a red triangle with the number 16 at the top position.
I guess it's like a house. I don't know what that number is.
Yeah, maybe that's a house number. And then there is a crescent moon on the left corner, and then on the right corner, a pair of right-handed scissors. That's an. Yep. I don't really know.
Those are the shears that you use to.
To cut the duck's heads off. Sure. Yep.
I guess.
They're quite big. You're not seeing this on the podcast. They're quite big scissors.
Yeah. You got to put, if you put a dime next to them, you would not believe how big they are in scale. And these placards are all over this area. Like every house has one. So it's not just this one. It's like dozens of these because they celebrate the wizard clip. They are still today. And that is the story, indeed, of the wizard clip, which is pretty weird.
Hmm.
And now over. What'd you think?
I mean, if that's the way the Catholic Church is going to convert people one by one, that's a lot of energy. That's a lot of energy. You know,
what else are they doing?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. They got a bit of a head start. They can afford to play a slow game.
A few thousand years under their belt. They've made some progress. Oh, man. All right. Well, we got to get to our recording of our Ghosty for Ghost Plus. So we should just end this. And I will say that this has been another episode of Is This a Ghost? We are a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes are taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is usually Jeremy Montoya. I hope he's back by the time you hear this.
Everybody does.
I know. Sorry, everyone. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. And also our travel agent is Jen Swanson, ladieswantravel.com. Our social media manager is Kai Valonis. And I don't know, man.
Be real careful when you get your wizard clip, guys. Real
I
careful.
Think so. I think
real careful.
I know that foreskin is tough, but you don't want to. You want to make sure you're in good hands, good Catholic hands, when they do that clip. otherwise, you might be the next ghost on Is This a Ghost?